Hey, 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 fans, and welcome to the Big Blue Box podcast. My name's Gary.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Maria.
I'm Matt.
I'm Harry.
And welcome to the March Roundtable.
Woohoo! Yay!
Welcome to the March Roundtable, you lot. Hope you've all had a cracking week and that you've managed to do something Doctor Who...
Doctor Who...
Related.
There we go. There we go. Thank you very much. You got that bit right, you lot. So, listener, we've had a bit of a... We've not had a falling out, but we've had a bit of a... You know, a few tense eyeballs across the webcams as we start for the third time this evening. It's all fun and games, isn't it, eh? Podcasting and all that, especially when there's five people doing it. It's a bit of an adventure. Not quite as good as a Doctor Who adventure, but yeah, it's up there. But welcome anyway. We've got some cool news to go through on this one. At last. It was amazing. Last week, Adam and I, for episode 370-something, we had some news to talk about, which is fantastic. And now, fast forward this week, we've got some more Doctor Who news to talk about. Fantastic. So that's good fun. So, coming up, we are going to talk about the... Oh, I don't know what to call it, really. The absolutely mental state of affairs of Doctor Who fandom when we all found out that the upcoming series was going to be at a slightly different time than we used to, especially here in the UK, just a little bit. And there was, as usual with fandom, there was two camps. There were the people that were just like, yeah, it's all good. It's just a TV show. And then you had the other people that were like, don't slag me off. All right. This is not just it's a bit like your hardcore footy fans. Whenever you say to a hardcore football fan, it's just a game. So your team lost. Don't worry about it. It's just a game. And then you get that look. You get the look and it's like, oh no, what have I just said? So we had that in the week, which was fun. So we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about the Moff Bag is back. Old Moffers is back to write some Doctor Who, which is fun. We speculated about this for bloody donkey's years. So, yeah. Old Moff is back. So we'll talk about that. Get the thoughts of these guys. Before we do that, we're going to crack on with a couple of little, tiny little newsy bits for some upcoming Doctor Who stuff, really. But before we do that, let's introduce the crew for this month. Jordan, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, thank you, Gary. Yeah, and you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
That's all right. I've actually been doing a little bit more Doctor Who stuff, so I've recently been watching... John Pertwee's last season on iPlayer, so I'm on Planet of the Spiders now.
Oh.
I don't know why I decided to watch that. I think I just sort of watched The Time Warrior and then was just like, I've just watched the whole way through now. I am doing that when I watch it. Be careful, because you might bring a spider in my room or something like that. But I've been watching that. What was the most annoying noise? That snake thing in Death to the Daleks, where it does that shrieking noise first.
Oh, yes.
And then that's been the most annoying. Like, we've got a new TV as well, so it's quite loud. And that's been the most irritating sound going.
Mm-hmm. But, okay.
The last round table, I don't think me and Maria had been to see Celestial Toymaker yet, had we, at the BFI?
You had not, no.
No, so that's, yeah, so me and Maria both went to see that. That was actually, the animation is still going to divide people. I wasn't overly taken with it, but I didn't hate it. But it was quite fun because a lot of it was, it hadn't been quite finished yet. So it felt quite cool because we were kind of seeing something that nobody else we'll get to see. So we've kind of seen a very, very rough version of it. But it was okay. It's never going to be a fantastic story, but it was pretty decent. It was pretty good.
Yeah, good. We had Maria did her usual on the spot rover, roving reporter, April O'Neil style thing, which is very good. So listener, if you've not checked that out yet, head over to the website. Don't you know? It's Big Blue Box Podcast at co.uk. And you can read that. It's very cool. But yeah, looked like a cool event, that one. And like a lot of things at the minute, quite divisive in the old fandom.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it wouldn't be Doctor Who if it wasn't, if it didn't divide.
Yes, of course. Yeah. I'm glad you're well, though, dude. Right, Matt, how are you, buddy? Old Matt Steele. Here we go.
Hello. Yes, I'm very well. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, Doctor Who stuff. Well, actually, to be fair, I was thinking about it earlier. I'm thinking I haven't done much this month, but I have actually. Well, come to think of it, I've been watching Pertwee's second season actually. Just a little bit before Jordan, but working my way through that, but not working my way through that on TV. I'm working my way through that on a very nice gift that I saved up for quite a while, for the new MetaQuest 3. So I'm watching it currently on like a 100-inch BBC iPlayer full screen thing on my ceiling, which is just amazing. You'd think it would damage the quality, but it if anything, it makes it more sharp. Just been loving it. And I think it's the novelty of it being so technologically advanced when the episodes aren't. It kind of makes me want to keep watching it on there. So been having fun with that.
You want to be Iron Man, don't you?
Oh,
you feel like you, Tony yeah. Stark. Yeah.
You can literally do that. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. I've been living in a virtual world for the last few weeks. It's been lovely.
That sounds cool, though. It does sound cool. And it's cool that you've chosen to go through a bunch of Doctor Who to watch. That's very cool.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, it just occurred to me, and I thought, well, let's see what it looks like massive. And, it holds up really well. And, yeah, I've been really enjoying it. And I think I chose sort of Pertwee because I was listening to the Big Finish, the one where we've got Joe Jones coming back with Pertwee's Doctor and travelling again. And that was so cool. And it just got me in the mood for a bit more of Jo Grant. A great companion.
Nice.
Aside from that, I've been delving into some more Big Finish, and I've been catching up on the 11th Doctor Chronicles with Jacob Dubman and Safia Inger.
He's good, yeah.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah, so for his sort of bow out, they did instead of sort of one or two voice actors, more of an audiobook style, they've gone full cast like you would have for, say, Doom Coalition or Dark Eyes with the Eighth Doctor. And a full companion, they've set it as the Matt Smith's Lost Series. It is impeccable. I'm not going to give anything away, but they've done the impossible and they made the Daleks scary again. There's a bit where you're listening and then you just go, what? They've actually done that? They've not actually had a threat in ever. But yeah, it's I would very much recommend checking it out. It's brilliant.
Oh, sounds good. It does sound good, yeah. I haven't listened to it yet, but yeah, I don't listen to as much Big Finish as I did back in day. But yeah, that is on the list. Yeah. Nice one, buddy. Very good. Maria, how are you?
Hi, Gary. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. So I know Jordan mentioned the Celestial Toymaker screening. So yeah, we did go to that about, was it 3 weeks ago? I can't remember how long it's been. It's been a few weeks. So I thought it was such an interesting interpretation, I would say. As Jordan says, it's not going to be to everyone's taste. I was a bit surprised that it actually went to Shapeshifter Studios in Australia to be made, and it didn't get me thinking, you know, was there not a UK company that could have done it? I mean, they've obviously got their reasons for going out, you know, that in that way. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see people's reaction once it goes on sale. I know there's no sale. I don't think there's a date for it yet, but I did read somewhere that it's meant to be May, that it's coming out. So it'll be really interesting to get people's feedback once they've actually seen the story for themselves. But
I'm not going to bloody watch it.
But fair enough.
I'm joking. I will watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is a unique interpretation, I would say. And, you know, it's a difficult one because obviously with most of the episodes missing, you know, they've obviously used that as an avenue to kind of create something fresh that's kind of quite modern. And, you know, I think it will appeal to a certain audience, I think. There will be people that will, I think, definitely enjoy it. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad I went to see it. It's not, if I'm honest, top of my buying list. But I'm glad that I've seen it. I might buy it eventually down the line, but it's not one of those must-have kind of purchases for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is fair enough. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So we went to see The Celestial Toymaker. Aside from that, I have been watching some classic Who. There are some stories that from Tom Baker that I haven't actually seen. So surprise, surprise, you know, there's about three or four that I haven't actually, I have absolutely no memory of them. So I am going through those. I'm going to write about my journey. So I'm not going to tell you which ones they are, but there'll be articles coming through.
Cool. That sounds cool, actually. I was under the impression, I assumed, always wrongly, that you had seen them all of Classic Who.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, I feel quite ashamed, really, because I'm meant to be a Classic Who fan.
Fake fan alert.
I know. you know, and that's the question, you know, do you have to be a fan to, can you only be a fan if you've actually seen everything? I think what happened, in my defence, I started going through Who in order. So I started watching everything. And I think for some reason I got to Tom Baker and there were stories that were just missed. You know, I have my favourites, obviously, from Tom Baker. He's got such a wide portfolio of stories. And obviously there are some real favourites in there. But yeah, I'm plugging those gaps now because I feel... Actually, do you know what? It was because you and Adam were reviewing some Tom Baker stories recently. And I thought it's about time that I actually go back to those stories and watch them. Mm-hmm. And that was my reasoning. So I have you and Adam to thank for that journey that I'm on now at the moment.
You're welcome. Glad that we prodded you to get your life priorities in order.
Well,
and finish watching Doctor Who.
I do listen to the podcast. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, when I look at the analytics, we have that one listener every week. And now I know who it is. Fantastic.
You're welcome, Gary.
great. So, Celestial Toymaker, very, very cool. Sounds good. And you're getting your way back through some of Tom's stuff, which is cool. Nice one. Last but not least, then, Mr. Walker. Harry, how are you, dude?
Hello. I'm doing well. Thank you, Gary. Really well. Recently, I've just been watching a bunch of different episodes. That's kind of all I've been doing Doctor Who related. I am in the Patrick Troughton era for my marathon, but I'm just not in the mood. I'm just not in the mood for him right now, I'm afraid. I've been branching off and I've been like watching some Tom Baker, just like Maria. I watched Meg Lost because you guys reviewed that, and it's one that I actually really quite like. I think, yeah. I mean, I am fully aware that it's not the best story, but I just think it's funny. So I enjoyed revisiting that. And yeah, a few David Tennant episodes. I found myself actually skipping Army of Ghosts and Doomsday because I didn't want to get my heart broken again, which I never normally do. I've been skipping a lot of those really sad episodes in the new series, like Father's Day and, you know, the like, because I'm just not ready for them. It's not the season. I'm being very intuitive with my Doctor Who watching right now. So yeah, no sad episodes and no Patrick Troughton at the minute.
Wow. So that's a real considered option for watching some stories. You're just not emotionally ready. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I mean, anyone would say, and I would say that I'm probably overthinking it, if I'm being honest. Yeah, there we are.
No, it's fine, man. You're in your own mental bubble, you know. You watch what you want to watch, and I get it, man. There's been times in the past where I've been going through a rewatch before, and I've turned it off before the end of time, part one and two. And my wife's like, "What are you turning it off for? You've watched all of it. Now you've turned it off at the last bit. What's wrong with you?" And I'm like, "I can't do it today."
Like the last time I went through David Tennant's era, I got to the Waters of Mars, and I was just like, no, I don't even think I watched The Waters of Mars. I think I got to Planet of the Dead, and I was like, okay, Waters of Mars is where, you know, stuff kind of gets real. And I just wasn't in the mood for it. I mean, this is the thing. We praise Russell's Doctor Who to high heaven. I mean, rightly so. But, I mean, his Doctor Who was so heartbreaking at times. I think you forget, like, in amongst all of, like, the fun and joy that was in that particular era of the show, there was actually quite a lot of, like, really sad, dramatic stuff going on. That's me.
Aww. That's cool, man.
I didn't realise I was feeling so mellow tonight. I don't know where that came from, but there we are.
That's all good, dude. Now we've all been there. Every single one of us has watched a particular Doctor Who story, I'm sure, and thought, this has really upset me. Like, for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, a regeneration story or a companion leaving or whatever, sometimes it does get you.
Web planet, that really upsets me.
Oh, the web planet, yeah. Oh, geez. That's hit me, man. I remember the very first time I binged all of, like, years ago, like, I don't know, 15, 16 years ago now, binge watching all of David Tennant stuff and getting to the end of time and his regen scene with when Vale Dacian comes on and he's walking into the TARDIS. My wife came in and I was just sitting there blubbering like a bloody baby. And she's like, "What's the matter with you? What's the matter?" And I'm like, it's just that I just couldn't speak. I had, like, tears running down my face. I was like, this is ridiculous. You know, it's a bloody TV show. But sometimes it does grab you.
And then you have Matt blooming prancing around the TARDIS like, "Oh, legs, I've still got legs." You know, like, I mean, I love him. I love Matt. He's lovely. But
yeah.
I really hated him in that moment.
Yeah. No, that was like a nice kind of pick you up at the end, I guess. Yeah, Geronimo.
For sure.
Right, well, I'm glad you lot are all good. Good. Before we crack on to the couple of themes, let's just very, very quickly mention that. And thank you guys for letting me know, because I thought this was, it's been and gone. But this was the movie version. But the TV BAFTAs, which are in May, I think Matt said, the TV BAFTAs, we have a nomination for Doctor Who, which is fantastic. So we're up against some very cool TV shows and moments and whatnot. And this is for, I think this is for Shuti Gatwa's kind of moments in the bi-generation scene, where we all know what happens with that. So that's, I can't remember what the name of the award is. It's like, is it best TV moment or something like that? Overall TV best bit, I don't know.
Most memorable moment.
That's the one. Yeah, I mean, in terms of memorable moments, it certainly is. For, like, if you niche down and you talk to all of the Doctor Who specific fans, then yes, that is a memorable moment, because we've never had that kind of regeneration before. But for the wider viewing audience public, I don't know. I hate to. Not like this at all, usually in life, but for this one, I don't mean to be a negative ninny, but I can't see Doctor Who winning out against, because there's some massive shows in this one, and I think the just the sheer number of interest and votes and all the rest of it from these other shows will outdo our beloved Doctor on this one. But I could be wrong. We could have a surprise win. Who knows? But anyone want to jump in and say their prediction for this?
Bill and Frank, Last of Us episode. I reckon that will win.
The Last of Us,
I can't see Doctor Who beating that. That episode absolutely outstanding. It was one of best pieces of television I've ever seen in my whole life. So I think it should definitely win. As much as, you know, Shooty's entrance was absolutely stellar.
Yeah, it's either that or Happy Valley for me. I think one of those two are going to have it. But anyone else got any predictions? Do you reckon who will have it, or you don't think so?
I'd probably say Happy Valley.
Happy Valley, right.
Yeah, that was phenomenal.
Yeah, Jordan's nodding. He's like, yeah. Yep.
I don't know. It's only Doctor Who out of all of those programmes that I've seen.
Okay. So Jordan thinks Doctor Who's going to win. Basically. Because he hasn't seen the other ones. But anyway, it's up against some fairly big, some stiff competition there. So we'll see, though. We'll see. Because we never know. There was quite a lot of hype and quite a lot of, you know, it broke the internet. Let's not forget, you know, when that whole Christmas episode was doing the rounds, you know, it was trending on Twitter for hours afterwards. And now it's international as well. You know, it's a lot more than what it was in that respect. So who knows, maybe. And the other new story is that old Moff bag, Stephen Moffat, is back to write an episode of Doctor Who. So Adam and I spoke about this on the regular episode that went out last week. And it seems like it's been one of those things that's been bubbling around in the background for ages. It's like people who are in the know. I had somebody, I won't say who, I had somebody message me on Twitter and say, I can't tell you how I know, but this is 100% true. Like the Moff bag has been involved with Doctor Who for a while. And he's absolutely been involved in the new stuff, specifically one episode. And I was like, all right, cool. You know, of course I asked how they knew. I didn't just leave it there. Can't just say that. I don't, you know, how do you know? But they didn't tell me. So anyway, so speaking on his return, just very quickly, he says, fair enough. Apologies to everyone. I've slightly misled. I am in fact writing an episode of the series of Doctor Who, exactly like I said I never would. What can I tell you? There was begging, there was pleading, but finally Russell agreed to let me have another go, so long as I don't go out of his garden. Working with old friends and a brand new doctor, I couldn't be happier. Sorry, I was a bit reticent on the subject for so long. It was all part of an elaborate plan that would have delighted millions, but the last minute I forgot what it was. So guys, again, any thoughts on this one? Are you happy that the Moff's bag? Are you indifferent? Are you meh? What are your thoughts?
I had an inkling, because I think there were some rumours that were flying around when we went to the Dawas Capital event last year in April, because Stephen Moffat was a guest as part of the convention. And I know he was he was in one of the interview rooms. So I think I did try and ask him to see if he would say anything. He did look, as you say, he was a bit reticent, but I think there were some rumours flying around at that time that he was involved in the new series. But you know how it is, you kind of put it out of your mind and you don't think any more about it if somebody doesn't confirm anything. So, I think the rumours have probably been flying around for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. But it's good to know. It's good to know that he's actually coming back, because he's had a bit of a gap now from obviously his own series as showrunner. It must be 4 or 5 years now since he's written for Doctor Who proper, maybe 4 years. So I'm really interested to see what he, you know, what new ideas he's got, because I think he's the kind of writer that's always got ideas bubbling. You know, he's probably a bit like Russell T. Davies. You know, they've always got ideas around Doctor Who. So it will be interesting to see what his ideas are. And obviously, it might, if it's going to be something scary, you know, something iconic again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good show. I think it's been longer than that, you know, Maria, that he's written for Who. It's probably...
Probably is,
know,
yeah.
6 years or so. I don't know. Anyway, Chris Eccleston, take notes. There's nothing wrong with coming back to do some Doctor Who. Who knows, for the 60th anniversary, for the 70th anniversary. Will he be with us for the 80th? I don't know. But essentially, Chris, you know, time for us is finite. So get your act together, you know, have a word with Russell, square it off, and then you're back in the game. Right, anyone else, any thoughts on Moff coming back? If not, we'll... Oh, Jordan, here we go.
With Maria, I agree. I remember at the Capitol, people were asking him, you know, are you coming back? Are you doing any work with Russell? And he would kind of skirt around the question without actually physically answering it. I remember thinking, I was like, yeah, he's very coming back. In a very similar way, when we went, with my first time going, Bonnie Langford was the guest, and she was talking about what she was working on at the minute. And she was saying, oh, you know, but there's something I'm filming that I'm not allowed to talk to you about. And I was like, yeah, you're coming back to Doctor Who. It was so obvious the way that she sort of said, I was like, yeah, you're coming back. And I think Stephen Moffat did something quite similar. And I was like, yeah, you're probably coming back. But I mean, I'm looking forward to it because, you know, he used to do... All of his had like sort of creepy elements, but they were also quite sad. There was, you know, The Girl in the Fireplace is quite a sad story for its creepy monsters. It's, you know, so I'm hoping that his is quite a creepy one. And I'm kind of hoping that it goes back to sort of when the show came back and you would have different writers, because some of the eras have kind of felt like you know what you're going to get when you go in. Whereas something like Christopher Eccleston's series, every episode was something different, and you could never quite pin down the feel for his era because every episode did something different. So I'm hoping that that's what sort of having people like Stephen Moffat back in it is going to do, is kind of make it feel a bit fresher, feel a bit different, even though he's written for it before. But the idea that you're not going to know what you're going to get when you go into it, I think that's going to sort of add to it.
Yes, no, I completely agree, dude. And apparently this new episode that he's written is going to be in a style of an Alfred Hitchcock kind of classic noir kind of thing. So it sounds very,
quite cool.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. So you never know, it might end up doing Doctor Who Does Psycho. That'd be quite
cool. Oh, yeah.
That'd be quite cool.
Yeah, just before the knife goes in, Shooty just sort of head just comes around the shower curtain.
In the shower and they're like, ah!
Okay, cool. So I think we're all in agreement then that that the Moff coming back is a good thing. You know, he's had a bit of a break. You know, he's been on, whether he's been on the wine constantly, who knows? He might have taken a break from that as well. Got his head straight. I don't know. By the way,
I was just going to say the post Russell put out with the three cryptic words. It does say woman for his episode. So is Alex Kingston coming back? You know, Mothbag loves River. He can't resist her.
No.
No,
I don't think so.
If not this season, it'll definitely be one of the next.
You reckon?
Yeah, I
River.
Just have a feeling. If Moffat's involved, he's going to want to, you know, have a few words with Russell. Like, can we have River in? And I'm sure Russell will be like, yeah, why not?
Well, it wouldn't be the end of the world, I guess. She's not the worst. I don't know. There was just so much, you know. And it felt like the episode that she did with towards the end of Capaldi's run was fairly was a fairly good, nice sort of see you later. I don't know.
It's weird, who isn't knows? It? Because she's met, hasn't she met all the doctors now on Big Finish? Or most of them, you know?
Most of them. Yeah.
Most, not all,
Yeah. You can't get rid of River Song. She'll run into Shooty at some point, I reckon.
Yeah, like I said, it won't be the end of the world. It just feels like a bit too early on in the newer era to bring back someone like River. That, to me, is someone like... She's, you know, I don't want to discredit the character at all in any way, but she's the kind of character that you bring her back for like a mid-season finale or end-of-season finale to help the Doctor out because he's in the thick of it. No pun intended. She did help Capaldi out.
I suppose it wouldn't quite be as like monumental as, say, if you brought back Martha. Like, that would be huge.
That'd be huge. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like I've heard the rumor like once or twice that Freema Agyeman has done a bit for like the new series. I don't know where I read that, but if that were true, that'd be awesome. Because
it would be
there
awesome.
Was something recently that she was filming something down in Cardiff.
Oh.
Ah. Okay.
There we are then.
Jordan's in the
middle.
Yeah. But I think it was for the. Was it the rumored unit spin-off?
Oh yeah, it could that be.
That she might be a part of that.
Yeah.
Personally, that would make sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely love to see her back, along with Jenny, the Doctor's daughter. That would be sick.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Anyway, only one person confirmed to be back at the moment, and that's Moffat. So we look forward to seeing whatever dark, crazy, Hitchcock-esque style story he's gonna put together for us.
Whatever he does, I'm sure it's going to be a cracker.
Yeah, yeah.
I can feel it.
Yeah, and also it's a bit like when you go back to your high school after you've left for a few years and you just got that kind of more... You know, when you're at high school, you just feel loads of pressure and it's like the world's going to end, you know. And then you leave high school for years and you come back and you think, why was I so worried, you know? You know, life is just doesn't anchor on that one specific moment in your life. So when you go back to high school, you've just got this kind of lightness to you and it's like... Oh, I feel good, you know, there's no pressure. Maybe he's like that. He comes back into it and he's like, you know, I've got no pressure now. I'm not showrunner. I'm just here to write a cool story. So, and we also know that when he was writing before he was showrunner, his stories, let's be fair, were good overall. So, yeah, right. Let's get into our first discussion topic, which is the new series of Doctor Who coming back at the end of May, which was, we knew was coming, we knew the date, and that was all good, but then you dived into the details a bit further, and wham, it felt like a bomb had gone off in Doctor Who fandom. And this is, of course, due to the change of broadcast times, or streaming times. So here in the UK... Historically, we've always had Doctor Who on at a reasonable hour in the evening. It's normally, I know it's sort of flitted around, but we've normally had it around 6 o'clock-ish in the evening, sometimes a bit later. And, you know, for us Brits, that's all fantastic. You know, you get your tea on, get a takeaway, whatever, and you sit there. It's all good times, good times. But now, the powers that be have... shifted that along to a more international friendly timeline or time zone. So now in the UK, we won't be getting Doctor Who at that time. We'll be getting it, I think it's 11 p.m. or midnight, one of the two. And it won't be on the usual TV service. It will be premiering for the first time digitally on the iPlayer for BBC here in the UK. But it will just be very late. And then the following day, or later that day, should I say, if it's midnight, then it will go out as usual on the usual TV, BBC One, and all that stuff. Over in the US and other international places, they will be getting it at a more, I don't know, in the US, I think it's like 7 o'clock for those guys, or 6 o'clock, something like that. And then we'll begin it later. So this has caused, obviously, a huge rift through Tandem. You have people, and I will just get my view very, very quickly out of the way, as I put on Twitter the other day. I don't think this is anything for anyone to lose sleep over. And I use that pun very intentionally. If you want to stay up till midnight and watch Doctor Who, fantastic. Stay up, you know. You're a, for the most part, unless you're under 18 or you're a junior, in which case, you know, check with your parents first. Then also stay up and watch Doctor Who. It's all good. Or if you want to just skip that, go to bed at your usual hour and get your beauty sleep and then catch it on iPlayer in the morning or wait until it's on TV later in the day on BBC One, then just watch it then. Just stay off socials. And if you're the sort of person that's like griping and going nuts because you can't stay off the socials, then that's a separate conversation you need to have. Probably with a doctor or a therapist or, you know, someone else who can help with that. So for me, this is a massive storm in a teacup. I think once the series has been and gone, everybody would have watched it whenever they wanted to have watched it. There'll be a few little gremlins on Twitter as on the socials, as you'd expect. But then that will be it. That will just be how people watch, you know, Doctor Who moving forward. And the reason I think for this is because we cannot anymore expect our beloved little British programme that was ours, quote unquote, for many, many years, decades, is no longer just ours. We have to share it with the world now. You know, it's out there on the different streaming services in lots more different countries now, and people are paying for it. Let's not forget, that a lot of people would have fired up a Disney Plus subscription to watch Doctor Who. So, you know, it's something that we have to share. So I think there's a little bit of entitlement going on between a lot of fans. I think there's a lot of, you know, how dare you? You know, this is our show. This is our program. So I think that's a little bit of a, you know, whatever. So that's my two cents on that. Who wants to jump in and give their thought? Who's got an opposing thought even? Maybe you guys are against this. Harry, you can jump in, dude.
Well, Gary, my guy, you hit the nail on the head. Like, if people are worried about, like, oh, I'm going to run into spoilers, da, 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 just don't go on the internet. Just don't go on the internet. It is literally as easy as that. Put down your phone, get outside, get some fresh air. And, I mean, look, if you're that bothered, just watch it as soon as you can, be it at midnight or, like, when you get up for breakfast or whatever. And look, I can understand why people are annoyed by this. I really can. Like, I don't think it's trivial that, you know, we've been used to watching the show at tea time, all at the same time. You know, a lot of us have childhood memories of doing that. You know, I completely get it. And I also feel like it's a bit weird, the idea of, like, watching Doctor Who with my cornflakes at breakfast. I do think that's a bit strange. But this show is constantly changing and evolving. And let's not forget, it's not always been on Saturday nights. And I just feel like something like this was always going to be inevitable. Like, scheduled TV is going to be a thing of the past sooner than we probably think. And this is just the first, like, instance of what will probably end up being, you know, the show will probably end up just going out all on the iPlayer straight away, because all TV shows will probably end up being like that, or, like, you know, something similar. So, you know, better to, like, happen now so that we start getting used to it, because it's going to happen. Like, the landscape of television and the way that we consume television is changing. We just got to get used to it, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think if it's like your really old school, like, soaps that we have in the UK, you know, those sorts of things, they'll probably be the last to sort of hang around and have the traditional sort of broadcast slots and stuff like that. But I think, yeah, so this is perhaps really, really good foresight from people like Russell and people at Disney, whatever. Of course, there's a little bit of a, what's the phrase here? There probably is a little bit of Disney saying, look, we've slung you guys, you know, quite a bit of money here. You've got to give us something back for the for our peeps here in the US. Do you know what I mean? So there's probably a bit of push and pull there. So, however, you know, I don't think Russell would have pushed back particularly too much on that anyway. So, or anyone else at the BBC executives, whatever. So you're absolutely right, dude. I think the way that people consume TV is definitely changing. And it's just like a slow change over the years. But, you know, if Doctor Who gets out in front of it, by the time all the other people have caught up, you know, Who fans will just be used to it. So, yeah, it's a good shout, dude. All right, Jordan, what are your thoughts on this? Is he going to explode or is he okay?
No, I'm okay. I agree with you two. My main thing was, is it still going to air on normal television, for want of a better term? Because hardcore Doctor Who fans, for all their moaning on, they're still going to watch it on, you know, iPlayer when it comes out at midnight, you know, whatever. But I was thinking, like, at home for me, casual viewers, like, you know, my mum and my sister and things, probably wouldn't. They would watch it when it comes out on the telly. But for me, I'm not fussed about it. I mean, I think you're right. It's probably, some of it is probably Disney, or but you know, that's fair enough. And that's telly and films and things aren't viewed as they used to be. It's, everything's becoming new, and it is quite surprising that for a show that is about things becoming new every few years, the Doctor Who fans are so resistant to it changing, that everything has to stay the way that it is. But I mean, Doctor Who's kind of becoming more, it kind of did when Moffat took over, but it then became quite a big international show anyway. So I don't understand why people are a bit like, oh no, it can't go out in other countries because it's English, it has to stay, you know, in England. But everybody else in the rest of the world loves it too. So, you know, and you know, if you don't want spoilers, don't go on Twitter. I mean, not that it was spoilery, but I watched the new X-Men animated series that's just come out, the new version, the continuation of the original one.
97.
Fantastic. Absolutely loved it. But I made the slight mistake of going on Twitter in the morning, but it didn't bother me. I was, you know, I was fine. I think it's fine.
Yeah, a good shout, dude. And just like Harry said as well, if you can't stay off Twitter, then, you know, and the thing is, we're not asking, like, with some shows, like, I watch this, I'm a big fan of this show called Resident Alien. And there's, it went out in the US, and then I think it was about 3 or 4 days later, we got it here on one of the Sky channels or something like that. And, you know, if I had to stay off of social media for like 4 or 5 days, then that's a bit of a stretch, just because, like, your average person could probably manage it, all right? It's all good. But we're asking people to stay off Twitter for a matter of hours. You know, we're not asking them to be off Twitter for, like, you know, an entire week or anything, or Facebook, whatever the social channel we're talking about. But so, yeah. Right, 3 for 3 then. Maria, what? Oh, no. Maria's got some, she's got a cannonball charged, lit,
guys,
ready to go.
You are sleepwalking. Let's have a look at this. I'm gonna take the opposite point of view, just because I think it's interesting to kind of explore some of those ideas. So I suppose initially, if I'm honest, when they said that British viewers could view it from 12 a.m, I kind of thought to myself, why would they do that? It's such an odd time to kind of put it out there for British viewers. I mean, it's not like everyone's going to stay up until midnight and then hurriedly, well, some people might, obviously they might, I suppose, if they're coming from a night out or something, they might want to put Doctor Who on and watch it at that time of night. But I kind of had a look at the timings, obviously, from where it's kind of airing in different parts of the world. And it does seem to me that the American viewers are actually going to do pretty well out of this, because I think they're actually going to get it in the evening, aren't they? I mean, looking at some of those timings, I know it's meant to be, is it simultaneous, simulcasting? Is that what they call it? So I think as a British product, as a product paid for by licence payers, because we're all paying the licence fee to watch BBC programmes, it does feel a bit galling that British viewers are actually going to probably get the worst deal out of it in some ways, because if it's available from midnight, obviously there will be people that will post spoilers about it. And, you know, I've always been the kind of person that doesn't want to kind of be spoiled. I want to kind of sit and watch something and not kind of not know what's going to happen. So it does mean, you know, I've got to not go onto any websites, not got to kind of interact with social media, because I'll be scared of being spoiled. And I think there is something about making Doctor Who like event telly, you know, where people all sit down together and they kind of watch it all at the same time, and then there's that kind of community feel around it. I mean, I don't know whether any of you go onto any websites at all, but I'm a member of one where people like to kind of talk about the episode after it's aired. So I can see that will kind of probably get ruined, because people will kind of post spoilers in the threads and things like that. I mean, obviously there is an element of Disney kind of asking for what they want, because they've invested so much money in it. I mean, I think they put in about 100 million into this. And I know Russell T. Davies said that he was keeping creative control. But if you remember, there were some scenes actually in the Christmas episode where Disney gave some feedback about the Doctor being, I think, introduced a bit sooner into the episode. So there were some, you know, they did influence the direction of the episode. So, you know, you do have to kind of think about that, because that meant they actually shot some new scenes for that. Obviously, they've put an increased budget, you know, into the series. I don't think they had any, from what I've read, I don't think they had any impact on the specials, because there wasn't any Disney money in those. So obviously they went out as they did. But now with the new series, you know, Disney will have an input into the marketing. So, you know, they've obviously asked for what they want. And, you know, and it's a bit like, you know, tough cheese for UK viewers. I know that they're going to put two episodes out before Eurovision. That does mean it's going to be a shorter season, I suppose, as well, for us to kind of view as well, because it'll be finished in 6 weeks. I suppose it's good that they've put it out before Eurovision, but I'm assuming that it's going to have a really early slot on BBC One as well. So that was my kind of point of view. I mean, I don't know whether Disney have got a history of kind of, you know, directing what happens with series that they've kind of invested money into. I did see something about Star Wars, and, you know, they'd had impact with some of that. But I mean, I don't know very much about that, to be honest. And Gary, you probably know more about that. But yeah, I just wanted to put that out there as the alternative point of view.
Alrighty. So what I'm hearing, Maria, is that you're not over the moon about this this change up. Not one bit.
I just wanted to put the alternative view out there, because I think sometimes, yeah, you know, we are in danger of kind of, you know, only looking at it from one point of view. And I think, you know, I could see from some of the YouTube videos that I was kind of watching after the announcement, you know, there's a lot of angry fans out there. You know, there are people that are upset, because it does feel like it's a British product. You know, so
yes, yeah,
we are, you know, as the British audience, you know, we're getting the short end of the straw, if that kind of makes sense, you know.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, I think for the majority of Who fans, that's probably their knee-jerk reaction, is that they hear the news and then immediately jump to, but this is our show, we're getting the short straw kind of thing. But I think, like with a lot of things, sometimes you have to sort of widen the lens a little bit and just look at them, the much larger picture, because I don't know, it just, it feels like, I don't know if to say this or not. It felt a bit like if we had exactly the same thing happen, and UK viewers know exactly what I'm talking, listeners will know what I'm talking about, when Harry and Meghan left the UK to move to the US, a large portion of the UK said, you know, this is not right. You know, Harry is part of the British royal family. He shouldn't be going overseas. You know, he should be here, blah, blah, blah. So I think sometimes, you know, and now that we fast forward, how long ago did he move over there with Meghan? We're talking, what, a few years now, at least? You know, and what's happened? Nothing. Like, you know, he's out there living his best life, doing his thing. You know, the royal family are doing their thing. There's no, I know they've had like some illnesses recently and stuff like that, but on the whole, you know, life hasn't changed much for the royal family. It hasn't changed for the British public. But yet at the time, it was Armageddon. Like, oh my God, like this is the worst thing that could happen to the, you know, it's terrible. So I think sometimes with our stuff as Brits, we tend to be very defensive. And I think sometimes that can be confused with entitlement as well. Sometimes it's like, you know. So, yeah, I totally see what you're saying, Maria. Playing devil's advocate, what about these other views and stuff? So I get that. But, yeah, I just feel like once the dust has settled and we're into season 16, 17, it won't even be a talking point. It will just be, you know, that's just when Doctor Who's on. So
I suppose, in all honesty, you know, because of the influence of Disney, you know, we are kind of in that environment where they have to consider a worldwide audience, and you know, and not just the British audience. But it's a real change of shift. So it will be interesting to see. I mean, you know, they keep saying, oh, you know, Doctor Who is worldwide now and all of that stuff. So, you know, let's see how this season goes down. Because I'm assuming for the BBC that ratings maybe aren't that important anymore. You know, maybe it's the number of views on the streaming service on BBC iPlayer now that, you know, is more important. I don't know. I mean, I've noticed that they do drop a lot of series onto BBC iPlayer first before broadcast. You know, so maybe that's it as well. You know, maybe they're going after that streaming audience now as well.
Yeah, and I think they have to as well. Like, if you're going to put Doctor Who on the international stage, then you have to kind of play the same rules as what the other big players are playing. Like, if you want to go up against other shows like Stranger Things, you know, those really big, successful streaming-based programs, then you've kind of got to play by the same rules. If that makes sense, if you want to get out there as well and get the same results, you have to be in the same playing field. So you can't have all the investment and all the new stuff and all the cool stuff and then complain later on because, you know, you kept it to your small little British audience. You know, if you want to compete, then you've got to be on the same field with the big boys. So, but yeah, I read you. Last of all, then, this could be it. This could be the one. Matt's either going to go to bed extremely angry or he's going to be chilled as usual. What are we saying, Matt?
We are saying, nah, Doctor Who's dead to me. Bye.
It's dead to you, is it? All that stuff in that room, dude, you're going to have to get rid of that down the car boot sale.
I know. Anyone wants, a hell of a lot of Doctor Who stuff? It's all on eBay.
Can I buy your limited edition, please?
Maybe.
I want them. If you don't want them, I want them.
There was some genuine hesitancy there, Matt.
It was.
No. I think I was in two minds. I think, like you say about wider lens, Gary, I think that is the main takeaway for this. I think, as many a people, when the news dropped, I went, what the hell? We're getting it at midnight. But thinking on it, it's not, like you say, it's not our little show anymore that, you know, nobody else in the world had ever heard of. Those days are long, long, long gone. And it's, you know, even more so with the input from Disney. It means that it's now being seen by more people across the world than ever before. And those people, like you say, are going to love it too. And they do love it. And, I mean, it's kind of comes down to a lesson in sharing, doesn't it? It's like in the school playground when you've got the best toy and people want to go, and you've got to learn to share. I think that's the way I looked at it, because at the start I thought, no, this is rubbish. What was Russell thinking? But at the end of the day, we're all still getting Doctor Who, and we're all getting this show that we love not even at different times. It's simulcast. It's just that if you want to watch it to avoid spoilers, you will have to stay up. If you don't and you're not bothered, then watch it as a live TV. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I really like the whole two-episode dropping at once thing, though, because it's a trend that Disney have had going for quite a while, especially with the Marvel TV shows, and I'm not sure about the Star Wars ones, but possibly...
they've done it, with Star Wars.
Yeah. I was going to say, you would know of anybody. And it seems to work really well, because it whets the appetite, doesn't it? If you've got just one episode and then having to wait a whole week. We're in such a generation now where it's like media is consumed at such a all at once rate, and that sometimes you gotta, you know, release more than one to keep the viewer there and not moving on to the next big thing.
True. Yeah.
So I do see both sides. That's very true, dude. But
yeah.
Mm.
Oh, this is okay. I'm not going to say unexpected from you, but very diplomatic and very, very considered. I like it.
I know. I think I'm going to try yoga next.
Yeah. as one of the youngest, I think, in the crew, you've got a wise head on your shoulders there, Matt. Yeah.
I don't think anybody else, especially my fiancé, would ever agree with you. But thank you all the same.
Yeah, that's a different... Yeah. Okay, so most of us then... not too fussed about this, can understand why it's happening, more importantly, more than anything else. Maria, however, I think the next time we all have a meetup, we're going to have to be very careful around Maria. I think we could get shanked or stabbed outside whatever venue we're going to meet up with Maria.
Excuse me. I do not condone violence. Please
Maria
do not.
Maria lives in London as well.
Yeah. Please do not throw hands at me, Gary.
So, Maria, I haven't seen you in person for ages. That'll learn you, won't it? I jest, of course. Maria would never stoop to a violent. She'd just give us that look. We all know the look.
I'm not going to buy you any drinks, Gary. I'm not going to buy you any drinks. You know that. You can buy your own drinks.
It's part of the punishment. Yeah, I knew that was coming. I did fast forward a bit earlier prematurely. I said that we had two discussion points, but we already went through one of them, and that was the Moff bag coming back. The other small thing that we forgot to mention, and that is, if you're listening to this on release day, listener, then you might have seen it always anyway, which is the new trailer is dropping on Friday the 22nd of March, which is when this podcast episode is going out. So... yeah, that was the other thing, which is always good. So we can keep our eye on fandom for that one and see all of the... oh, that was rubbish, that was. Rinse and repeat of all the other crap we've seen in the trailer so far. And I will not be staying up for midnight release for that one.
So. I think for consistency, this trailer should come out at midnight.
just to get everyone primed. Yeah, this is what you've got to get used to.
Just wear our appetites.
Trailer drop in exclusively at midnight. So get your pyjamas on. Do you know what? I might stay up for the first one, just for the novelty factor. Might stay up for that first one, just see what all the fuss is about.
I was thinking the same thing. I might actually just stay up and watch the first one. And then
I think it'll make a crack.
I'm fine. Yeah. I've watched the first one.
Did you watch the first one? You stayed up till midnight to watch Doctor Who? Yeah, and it was rubbish, actually. So that was money well spent on the old licence fee. Cheers, iPlayer.
This is the thing, right? Like, if it's an event episode, like a series opener or a really cool series finale, then watching it like at midnight would be really, really cool. But if you were to watch an episode like a bog standard one, like say the Saranja Conundrum, you finish it at like 1 a.m. and you're there like, well, that was rubbish. I should have gone to bed, you know.
Yeah, when you're yawning your head off. Like, come on.
I must admit, when they originally said that there was... I misread it, actually, when the announcement first came out about the midnight drop on iPlayer. I thought they were dropping the episode midnight on iPlayer for some reason, and I had to read it again. So, you know, that was my kind of... I obviously wasn't wearing my glasses at that point, but but yeah, that's what I thought originally, which was a bit silly.
Oh, yeah, so that wouldn't have helped. Yeah. Okie dokie then. I think on that series of bombshells, I think we should wrap it there, folks. That'll do it. Otherwise, we're going to get into it. That'll do it for the March Roundtable. Thank you for listening to another Roundtable episode. And I've got a big smile on my face just watching this lot bop along to the theme. It's all good. I love watching that. That has been the Big Blue Box podcast for the March Roundtable. Remember to make sure you are following or subscribing to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, as we put a new episode out with this lot once a month. It's called the Roundtable. And as you've just witnessed, the industry-leading commentary, editorial, chat and waffle from us lot, you won't find that anywhere else. And I can hear you saying, listener, that's not a bad thing. So yeah, thank you to these guys, and make sure you're following. And you also get the weekly episode that goes out that Adam and I do, where we review an episode of Doctor Who, and you can find it all on the website as well, which is bigblueboxpodcast.co.uk, and there's links to all the socials and the Discord and everything, so go and do that. Right, you lot, thank you very much, Jordan. It has been cool as always, dude.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm going to go off now and finish Planet of the Spiders. So I'm going to be Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. So I'm just going to be humming that now forever.
Nice. Good. Maria, thank you very much.
Oh, that's all right, Gary. I'm going to go and finish my Top Secret Tom Baker episodes. Nod, nod, cool. Wink, wink.
Sounds good. Matt, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. It's always a pleasure, and it's been nice coming out of the virtual world for this last couple of hours. I might do it again sometime.
Cool. And Harry, thank you very much, dude.
Thanks, Gary. I'm going to go off now and probably watch Shrek 2001, because I watched Shrek the Musical last night, and it was rubbish.
Oh, dude. Well, on another bombshell. Let's kick the music back in, and let's do the outro. For this bit then, Shrek, oh, I don't know. Right.
I've ruined it with Shrek.
Until next time. My name's Gary.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Maria.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Ari.
And until next time, remember...
da 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 da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da